guide, your concierge, your spiritual leader on this adventure, this journey that you're having into BDSM, kink, and fetish. Here on Everyday Kink, we will talk to creators, providers, insiders, to give you the inside scoop on this lovely journey that we're having. You'll get some tips. You'll get some advice. You'll get some ideas. But above all else, you'll get some great conversation. So stay tuned. I know what you're going to say. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Why haven't you been bringing us the content that we've been used to seeing? So, let me explain to you what my summer looked like. So, now being able to shoot more frequently and book more creative stuff, I've been shooting like a madman. On top of that, I've been working in summer school. And then just recently, I just started my training for my before and after care job that I'm going to be doing on top of my school job. Gotta love the vanilla life. So I've been kind of pretty busy, but I have some great news. This is the update before my big last season episode, which is going to be the next episode, which I'll have a special interviewee guest who I'm going to go see this weekend to interview. But I'm here to give you some updates, some fun updates, and then maybe cover a few topics too. So let's talk about the first update. In October, from the 21st to the 23rd, your boy from the Everyday King podcast is going to be at Exotica in New Jersey. I am trying to shoot and I'm trying to interview. I'm trying to stockpile for season 3. A good friend of mine who's been interviewed here on the show, Peach Fuzz, who I've, you know, worked with on a bunch of stuff, she's going to be doing a booth, and I'm going to be helping her out with her booth. So I'll be there for the whole weekend, helping her out, documenting her first big booth, and trying to, you know, network and connect and try to get this platform out there a little bigger, as long as I'm a little bit more consistent. Which is going to be good. I already have one interview set for when I get there, and I think two shoots. So it's going to be interesting. I haven't been to an adult convention. And I say adult convention, I mean, you know what I mean when I say adult. I haven't been to a convention like that in a long time. So this is going to be very interesting. It's going to be fun. Always look at these opportunities as a chance to kind of like meet new people, extend my brand, find new things to bring to the platform, and find new ways to promote the platform. So this is going to be very fun. Outside of that, I am getting ready to do more traveling. So I've been trying to stack and work and shoot so I can, you know, put money away for that. But that's the update. The podcast is here. It's still going. I may have gotten lazy, but it's still going. We have this episode, the next episode, which is going to be a interview with this lovely lady that I know from FetLife and from Instagram. And we're going to sit down. We're going to do this great episode. We're going to do a shoot. That's going to be the official last episode of this season, which is going to help set everything up for next season when I go to Exotica to interview and kind of get the lay of the land and, you know, stockpile. A lot of stockpiling. So now that I got that interview, that update out the way, yeah, let's hit a few topics. All right, let's talk about this first topic. I'm outside, the weather's pretty nice. This topic is inspired by a model that I work with who was on her rant. Who was on her rant about this because it was bugging her the fuck out. And she wanted to, she was talking to me about it. And I figured, oh, this would make a great little topic piece for an episode. So I'll just throw it in this one. Posers. Within the lifestyle, within the community, there's a lot of people who are posers. And when I mean posers, there are people who want to be part of the kink fetish BDSM community, but don't go about it the right way. They either don't take their time to learn, or they imitate what they see on TV and hearing music or movies and try to emulate that without having no clear direction, no clear structure. They don't know what type of dom they are. They don't know what type of subs that they like, and their kinks are very low impact. It's like stuff that, you know, those in the community will look at and be like, yeah, that's not even really a kink, to say the least. So I wanted to talk about that because it's the same thing you see within the modeling community, where you have people who aren't into certain things but pretend they are because it's the popular thing to do. So you have a lot of girls who do the geek stuff but aren't really geeks. Don't dress up as a character, but don't know the character. Don't know the powers of the characters. Don't know the skill set of the character. Don't know the show, the anime, the comic, the manga, the video game that the character comes from. They just know that that character is popular, and if they portray this character, then they're going to get more views. Well, it's the same thing in the BDSM fetish and kink community. Right now, I mean, it's not super acceptable, but it's probably the most susceptible that it's been in a very, very, very long time. And it's a great way to add instant edge or instant edginess to you and your content and what you shoot. You know, or to make you look like more of a bad boy or bad girl because you say you're into this stuff. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. It's a guy that you meet who's into, says they're into BDSM and they like impact play, but the extent of their impact play goes to just slapping the ass during fucking. They don't know how to slap, where to slap. They don't know about aftercare. They don't know about any of it. They don't know about implements. They don't know about any of the other details that go into it. They don't know about aftercare. Girls who are into choking, but it's like such a boxed in variation of it, you know, or, you know, you don't even put that much pressure on it. You just do a little squeeze and it's like, oh my God, what are you doing? Are you trying to kill me? It's like, chick, do you understand? So you have a lot of poses. And one of the reasons why this is such an important topic is because posers can ruin your BDSM kink fetish experience and can throw you off to the whole lifestyle. One poser could fuck the whole lifestyle up for you. If you are a person who is looking to get into BDSM, I'll give you a better example. So there was a girl that I was seeing who was into anal, who wasn't into anal, but she wanted to try. And whenever we talk about it, she would say how the last person she did it with was so rough and he didn't listen, he went too fast, and it kind of turned her off to the whole thing in general. And it's because she found out that he didn't really know how to do anal. He just saw it on a porn and just thought that was the freaky thing to do. And know, hooking up with me, someone who knows how to do it. It's kind of, you know, patient, listen, let your partner take control, you know, let them ease themselves into it, made the experience better. And she was like, if I had this experience when I first tried it, I probably would have done it more. And it's the same thing with BDSM, kink, and fetish. If you want to try impact play, but the partner you are with who says they're into impact play doesn't know what they're doing, one, you could get hurt. There are places you're supposed to hit and places you're not supposed to hit. You could really hurt somebody. And it could ruin your experience because maybe the person is too heavy-handed. They don't know how to ease up. So now they've ruined that for you because you feel like that experience is now connected to impact play. So whenever anybody brings it up, that's what you're going to think. You're going to think it's going to be the heavy-handed, very painful, no aftercare, just hit all over the place experience. And that's not what it is. Just like someone who does, you know, shibari. You know, they don't have shears. They don't know about aftercare. They don't know about, you know, checking with the person to make sure the circulation is okay. They know nothing. All they know is they watched a video on YouTube about someone tying someone and now they want to try it. That bad experience could turn somebody off from shibari. So you got to be careful when you're working with new partners, new play partners, to make sure that you have the best experience for you. I always go, you don't like something until the right person does it with you and changes your mind. If you are a person who doesn't like missionary, that's up until you have someone who really knows what they're doing, and missionary becomes like this great exotic position for you. So you always have to vet your people and you have to ask questions to gauge their knowledge. Never be afraid to find out how knowledgeable a person is in a subject, because it's the difference between you enjoying and not enjoying your playtime. Ask the questions. What do you do with aftercare? Do you have shears? Do you have lube? Do you listen to your partner? Do you know what safe words are? Ask the questions that you need to ask in order to figure out if this person is going to be able to really indulge you in your kinks and your fetishes. First and foremost, you know what I'm saying? And if you're talking to the person and they don't seem like they know what they're doing, you forego that experience with them. Communication is the key. And, you know, if you guys have been around with me since season one, you know that's one of the big things I talk about is communication is the key in this lifestyle. I know a lot of people like the spontaneous nature of this community, going to a party and interacting with various different people. And, you know, in those situations, you know, it's a Pandora's box. You're going to get some good, you're going to get some bad. You're going to have a good experience here, you're going to have a bad experience here. But that's the nature of those environments. It's on the fly. But for someone who you may consider as a partner or who you're bringing into your network and your family, you want to ask these questions, because this is going to be a person that you may be dealing with on a consistent basis. So you want to make sure they know what they're doing so your needs are properly met. And this goes for men and females. Communicating and knowing what a person's skill level is important. Just like communicating and learning what a person's tolerance and a boundary and a guideline is very important. If a person is not into a kink that you're not into, well, if you talk about it, you may change that person's mind. Or you may find out why they're not into it, and it may make it easier for you to deal with not being able to do it. The communication is always the basis of everything. And so, to avoid posers, people, fakes, people who are in prime position to ruin your experience and your sessions and your playtimes, talk. It seems weird. It seems clinical. But trust me, you want to talk, engage what a person is able to do before you just fly right into it and then have a bad experience, which is not good for either one of you. Hell, a person may not know what they're doing, and you may be able to teach them what to do, therefore not only making your experience better, but making them better at the position that they're playing in your life, whether it's a dom or a submissive or a switch. Communication is the key. That is how we avoid posers. That's how we get rid of the fakes in the community. Because once you figure out a person doesn't know what to do and they're not even willing to try to learn what to do, you know to avoid them. And anybody else who goes, hey, you know, I saw that you know this person, I was wondering how they are, you can let them know. Then they can let someone else know. That way you can kind of get the people who aren't really into it to be into it out of the way, and keep the people who really want to enjoy themselves and explore themselves and see this for more than just a physical manifestation of a desire, and sees it more as an emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical experience. You can keep that safe for them and get all the fake ones out. So, posers. Number one way to avoid dealing with them and ruining your experience is always going to be communication. Never be afraid to ask questions. All right. So, another topic that I've been itching to talk about, I just keep forgetting. And every time I do an episode, I go, damn it, I should have talked about this as a topic. But it's so hilarious to talk about. But environmental comfortability. I know, very big word. What does it mean? Well, as it says, environmental, being comfortable in your environment. Now, the way we're using it in this podcast, well, let me pitch the story to you. So there's a lovely place here about maybe a few blocks away from me called the Art Cinema. Lovely environment, lovely place. You know, you go in with your partner or by yourself, and depending on the day, you can have an interesting time. But one of the drawbacks is it's not very comfortable. It's an old theater, so it has those old cement floors with, you know, the old rugs on them. And it's the old school cinema seating. It's like the ones with the seats that once you get up, pop back up. And it's like metal with a little bit of fabric and a little bit of foam to kind of not have you have, you know, still imprints on your back. The rows are very, very tight, so it's hard to maneuver unless you're standing in an aisle. You know, I was with a partner there, and one of the things that she was talking to me about after going there was just like how it was so hard to do anything because it was so cramped and because it was so closed in, and it just wasn't very comfortable, so you couldn't really express yourself how you want to. And we went to another spot, into the Love Boutique. And the Love Boutique, we went in there and they had like great soft furniture. Just perfect to just either sit there and wait for the action to happen or to do action on. But the rooms are small. So you can't get like a full exuberant explosion like how you want to. And I started thinking, what about environmental comfortability? We talk about a lot of stuff when it comes to the lifestyle and the community and fetish and kinks and BDSM. One of the things that when we talk about comfortability with your partner and with the actions that you're doing and being communicative and stuff, we don't talk about comfortability of the environment. Depending on your environment could dictate how much of an enjoyable experience you have, just as much as the other stuff. You know, I watch these like independent porns where, you know, it's not the most comfortable environment for the girl, And on top of having your body bent in like 5 million different ways and positions, that on top of, you know, being fucked on something that doesn't look like it's the most comfortable thing, makes the situation not as enjoyable as you want. Now, mind you, there are some people who, it doesn't matter what the environment is, if they're ready to go ham, they're ready to go ham. But I figured I would take time out to talk about exactly just how important being comfortable in the environment is, having a comfortable environment for your partner or partners to play in. I just finished watching a show called How to Build a Sex Room. Loved it. Binged it on Netflix. And there was a poly couple in there, and they had a large group, like, had to be like 7 to 8 people. And one of the things when they're building the sex room is they wanted to have a room with a bed big enough that they all could be in comfortably. And out of all the episodes, that was like one of the most biggest things. Like, people talk about, you know, all like knowing, you know, the kinks and the fetishes, but that was like their big thing. They wanted something where they all can play comfortably. And it made me think, you know, that's a very important thing. Like, having an inviting place that's comfortable. You know, sensation is a big thing. And the difference between our hard couch or a couch that's soft to the touch, and maybe it's a little, that not velvet, but that little kind of velvet material that feels good against the skin when you rub up against it, you know, it sets the tone. It puts you more at ease. You know, you're not worried about, you know, some guy going all in on you and you end up rug burning your back, or your back keeps digging into the steel in like an old couch, or, you know, you're trying to get in position so you can like angle your thrust right, but the edge of the couch has like, it's like old worn down wood, so it's fucking killing your knees, so you can't really go in like how you want to go in for a long period of time because your knees are killing you, which just throws off the whole experience in general. So comfortability is very important. It's the difference between having a good time and a great time. You know, soft beds, soft blankets, you know, the 100 count sheets, and, you know, the fur throw rugs. All of it plays a part in making sure your partner or partners have like the best experience. So, as you are planning your next playtime, or you're planning your next session with your partners or partners, take some time to take into consideration the environment and how comfortable you can make it for them. And trust me, if you do, your experience and your time will be that much better. Of Everyday Kink. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed providing it to you. Now, if you like what you heard, you want to support the content, you want to support the creator, I always have links in the description. And if you want to help the podcast out, follow, like, favorite, suggest it to other people, share it. You can also donate.